Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Coming to you live from the Ray Horseman Studio in North Hollywood, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, let's talk about trees. Jim Hardy, director of park operations for Tree People, is here to help us saw through knotty questions that might stump intellectual saplings. He'll get to the root of why Theodore Roosevelt said, quote, "To exist as a nation, to prosper as a state, to live as a people, we must have trees." Plus, an Anne Margaret sighting. How's she holding up? Better than Elvis. I'm Adam Felber, this show's topical arborist, trying to keep our conversation growing gracefully along a single branch. And now, please welcome the woman who happily grafts a topical dogwood onto a conversational flowering hibiscus, Paula Poundstone.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Welcome, Paula, and a big thank you to tonight's house band, returning champion accordionist, Alexei Chebeluk.
Fantastic.
Alexei, welcome back. Great to have you, man. And I love that La Vie en Rose. Thank you. Paula, I understand that you ran into legendary performer Anne Margaret.
I did. I was at a USO event, and Anne Margaret was being honored with the first annual Bob Hope USO Performer Award. And there she was.
Yeah.
Anne Margaret. And I made my way over to her, and I leaned down because she was sitting, and I whispered to her that you and I had recently watched Viva Las Vegas.
We reviewed it on this very program.
And I can't remember why we watched it. What film were we connecting it to?
This was your idea. We were...
Lion King.
Lion King.
Wasn't it?
Yes, the live-action Lion King was coming out, so we, in order to let people know...
If they should watch the live-action Lion King...
Did we watch the original Lion King? We did not.
No, we watched... Viva Las Vegas, because it had the king of rock and roll.
Yes, the king of rock and roll.
And we recommended people not watch The Lion King because Viva Las Vegas
is a terrible
was
movie.
A terrible movie. But I didn't say that to Anne Margaret. What I said to Anne Margaret is what we said to one another, was that Elvis was all but unwatchable, and she, you couldn't take your eyes off
her. You could not take your eyes off her. She's unbelievable.
Fantastic.
And you told her that.
Yes, I did tell her that.
Wow, did that go well?
Yeah, and I said Elvis was awful, and she was like, "Oh, I love Elvis. I love Elvis."
You said Elvis was awful?
I did.
Yeah.
I love him singing. I just meant in that particular film.
Yeah, but you're aware that during the filming of Viva Las Vegas, as we covered on this program, she and Elvis had a torrid and very satisfying love affair.
No, how do you know whether or not Anne Margaret was satisfied by Elvis?
Because she says so.
She did?
Yeah, I think so.
Were you in, like, the hotel room next door?
Yeah, I had a glass against the wall, like they did in the old movies.
That's just right, Elvis.
you put down her old boyfriend.
Well, I didn't mean to. I didn't know they were old.
I didn't know that.
I wasn't listening at the wall the way you were. I had no idea.
You apparently weren't listening at the podcast we recorded together, either.
I tend to drift. You know what? She was very pleased to hear how much we enjoyed her performance. And
I'm so glad.
And they showed at this event, they showed a clip of her performing at the USO. I think this might have been in Vietnam. I can't swear to it. And
Vietnam was in the smack dab middle of her heyday.
She was great.
Yeah,
and
no doubt.
Troops really were loving it. And congratulations, Anne Margaret. But you know what, Adam? I have been so excited all day to tell you about this. I want to thank you for wearing your Argyle sweater vest, and Tony is wearing her Peplos.
Yeah.
I was over with Tom Hanks just before the show began.
Okay.
He's over. We're kind of using Roger Federer's store as like a green room because there's no more room in this.
There's much untruth here.
I came early to bring the Petty Force where the... And Mrs. Culpepper agreed not to wear her ruby sateen dress.
Now, to review for our listeners who might have been paying about as much attention to our podcast as you do, Tom Hanks, according to Paula,
you're keeping Tom Hanks waiting, but go ahead.
Has agreed. I'm keeping him waiting.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Has agreed to appear on our.
He's
our program.
He's the nicest guy in Hollywood, but he's
known as nice.
He had some conditions.
He had some conditions,
and we seem to have met those conditions.
We've met the Argyle sweater vest.
Yeah, he wanted Adam to wear an Argyle sweater vest. He loves Tony in her traditional Greek peplos.
Boy, I would love to hear you try to say traditional Greek peplos again.
Traditional Greek peplos.
That's
he
better.
Did not want Mrs. Culpepper to wear her.
Mrs. Culpepper, the Southern gentry hand puppet that you've introduced.
That's why I'm not wearing my ruby sateen dress. on behalf of Tom Hanks.
I thought you didn't truckle to Tom Hanks.
I do not like to truckle to Tom Hanks, but it seems so important to Paula and I love Paula.
I know you do. You're quite attached to her.
And Tom Hanks, I'm a little titillated myself, not as much as Aunt Margaret may have been with Elvis, but nonetheless, I'm very excited to say that we saw Tom Hanks over at Roger Federer's. So we saw Tom Hanks over at Roger Federer's.
Yes.
He is waiting there.
Again, not Roger Federer's store. It's an appliance store called Fetter.
No, it's Roger Federer's.
No, the sign is quite clear.
It's Roger
Federer's. It's a missing ER.
He got, you know, Adam, you can't win every fucking tennis game. You got to have a backup.
I do understand that.
So
but that's not
Tom
his backup.
Hanks is over there. I want to thank Roger Federer, who only regrets that he can never come to see the show because he's, you know, selling the microwaves. But we got the pet. Where are the pedophores?
Because
I came early to bring. Wait a minute. Is that fucking llama still in the room?
Yeah, that's the llama that Anthony Alfaro, our engineer, brought last week.
Shit! And look at it! It's got the pedophore box over
there.
Well,
I'm sure Tom Hanks will understand.
No, he won't come without the pedophores. God damn it, Anthony Alfaro.
So what, are you going to have to go outside now and tell him not to come in?
I guess.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go tell him.
All right.
Now... For you listening out there, I don't know what Paula's doing out there, but I'm willing to guarantee to you that she's not going to talk to Tom Hanks and Roger Federer and assure them that the pedophiles will be back next week. But as long as I have an opportunity to tell you people this, it's what we're going to try to do tonight is what I've been wanting to do for...
Son of a bitch! He just took off. Did you hear that car?
No.
You didn't hear that car?
No.
Yeah, Tom Hanks just left.
I heard you outside the door making a vroom noise.
I did not make a vroom noise, Adam.
Yeah. What would it sound like if you did?
Vroom.
That's what it sounded like.
No.
Yeah.
No, I can't believe it. We were so close. I've been so excited to have Tom Hanks. I told you not to truckle to Tom Hanks. He's fickle.
That's right, Mrs.
Here I am without my ruby sateen dress. It was a damnable calumny. That's what it was.
It was a calumny. What exactly are you wearing tonight, Mrs. Culpepper?
Nothing.
Well, that's very gentry of you. I'm sure the captain will appreciate that when you get home.
The captain will roll over in his grave.
His what?
He's not alive, Adam.
Oh, dear me.
This is a disgrace to the captain's memory.
So now you find yourself widowed and naked.
I'm widowed and naked and ashamed.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm deeply ashamed.
It's a bad night for Mrs. Culpepper. So I will not make your night worse by asking about the conditions.
Damn, Tom Hanks, nicest man in show business. What makes people think that? He has stripped from me my ruby sateen dress.
Oh, dear.
And the honor of Captain Culpepper, whose memory is dear to all of us.
Most of us. I don't really know much about the captain, to be honest with you.
He
was surprised to hear.
He was a wonderful man. He was an honorable man.
Okay. And
he was a cheese-eating man.
A cheese-eating man. Oh, that's right. I think I remember reading in the local paper when I was a little boy that he passed away due to... I don't want to bring up bad memories, but
passed from tyrotoxism, which is poisoning from a cheese or dairy product.
And which dairy product was it?
It was the Gouda that got him, Adam Thelma.
I'm sorry to hear it, Mrs. Culpepper. Very, very sorry to hear it. Well, why don't you throw on a Peplos or something? And
this is awful.
Yeah,
I would enjoy wearing a Peplos if Tony would go naked.
I don't think that's going to happen, Mrs. Culpepper.
A lot to ask of a producer.
Yeah, it's hard to ask it of a hand puppet, let alone a producer.
What? Adam, I want you to know something. I got my flu shot today. I went to the Rite Aid. I didn't want to do it because I hate shots. And you know what I realized in the process is that I actually get angry. That's what happened. Because I'm a little bit scared. And so I took my scooter over, but I left my helmet and sunglasses on while I got the shot in case I passed out. Because
the helmet makes sense. I don't get the sunglasses.
I don't want anybody knowing who passed out, Adam, from a flu shot. It's just embarrassing.
Sure, that's exactly what would happen.
But
if
I,
you
was
passed
a little
out.
Bit. I was.
I'm glad you did
what?
It.
I did do it. It was a good thing to do. But I was. I found myself being very uncharacteristically angry with the people who just were, you know, I said, I need a flu shot. And the woman at the counter at the Rite Aid pharmacy said, okay. And I became like Elise Stefanik, the representative from New York.
From the Albany area or something like that. Yeah,
doing some of the questioning in the
impeachment inquiry.
I said, I need a flu shot. And the woman said, okay, in just a minute. And I said, right, it's spelled correctly because it's RITE. And
wow.
You know,
and she said, ma'am, this is a CVS.
Yeah, no, it was, which is also spelled wrong.
No, it's not. It's spelled.
I said to her, I go, there was a study because, you know, where the pharmacy is, they're all built the same. Where the pharmacy is, there's also the rows and rows of the supplements and what do you call it, herbs.
Okay.
You know, that you can buy in the medical section.
The stuff that doesn't do anything.
Well, precisely. And that's exactly what I said to her.
And you pointed that out, too.
Uh-huh.
I would have gotten the wide bore needle at that point for you.
No, you know what I said to her? I said, you know, there was a study that there's not even rose hips in the rose hips.
Wow. And, I don't even know what a rose hip is.
I don't either. That's what I said to her.
Because roses don't appear to have hips.
That's exactly what I said to her. And then she played like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and a rose did like a little thing across the counter.
Wow, we just wandered off into a strange area there.
So you got
the flu shot.
I did get the flu shot, but I found myself being angry. And so you know what I did, Adam?
What'd you do, Paula?
I went to the Gap.
Is that a place in your mind where you feel good, or did you go to the... Or did you go to the store?
No, that's my happy place.
The Gap.
No, I went to the Gap. I went to the Gap to buy some jeans. And you know what's weird? They don't have regular jeans at the Gap anymore.
What do you mean? They have jeans.
They used to have a wall of just regular old jeans. I like the kind that are crispy. I like the kind that are
crispy
stiff
jeans?
As a board.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no. They don't sell those anymore.
They don't have those anymore. They have like the stretchy,
They're pre-distressed, stretchies.
Yeah, exactly. They already have holes in them. I'm like, well, that's why I was buying new ones, because these ones.
Well, I'm sure you found some without holes.
I took off a pair that's apparently worth hundreds. To buy one. And then so I got a guy to help me because I couldn't, because they're in different places. I said, well, I just want regular jeans like these here.
This is a delightfully unfocused story.
No, it is focused. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I was so angry that I bought tight jeans.
No.
Yeah.
And who are you lashing out at with that, Paula?
My children. I bought tight jeans purposely to upset my children. So I said to this guy, he gave me a pair, and I said, well, I'll go try them on. And then he said, well, why don't you take these, I think they were like 32s or something. He said, why don't you take these 27s as well? And I said, okay. And
27s?
Yeah, so I took them he said they don't have 28s anymore. I don't know why. I took them in to try them on, and, you know, the 27s. Fit over one thigh. So I go to the counter to pay, and the guy was there, and he goes, which ones worked? Like right in front of everybody.
Wow.
Yeah. I said, the bigger ones, asshole.
Wow, you were just...
I
angry
said,
today.
I couldn't get the other ones over my rose hips.
So you're not wearing... Those aren't them. You're not wearing those.
No, these are my old regular jeans. These jeans are worth $1,000 right now.
Are they now?
Yeah, because they have handcrafted... I like jeans that you wear them and they get holes because you wore them.
Yeah.
I don't want the manufacturer putting holes in them.
Well, a lot of us are too lazy to really get holes in our jeans anymore.
But why do you want holes in your jeans?
Oh, so it looks like we're active.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's...
Yeah.
Looks like
I want
active.
The look of the outdoorsy active lifestyle, yeah. But I don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why.
It.
That's why I like to wear a bib with a lot of food all over it.
Yeah. I wear lobster bibs just to make people think I had lobster.
Yeah exactly. Yeah. That's a good idea.
I'm eating lobster 24/7. Yeah.
I put a lot of those bands that you get into nightclubs with on my arms. And
oh, yeah.
I haven't
those
been
are good.
To a nightclub in years.
it just creates a nice impression.
Yeah. People
like, you're
like,
important.
Oh, my God. People
yeah.
go, see that chick in the tight jeans with the rose hips? She
and
goes
the bracelets.
To clubs.
Yeah.
She goes
and
to
the crown,
nightclubs.
Because she's also a princess.
Am I?
I don't know.
I have a word, Adam. The word, Adam, is piquant.
Piquant. I know that word.
It's an adjective that means, it's got a couple of meanings, actually. The first meaning is pleasantly savory.
Uh-huh.
Pungent.
Yes.
The second meaning is engagingly provocative.
Yeah.
Or also having a lively charm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're nodding your head like you were very familiar with piquant to begin
yes,
with.
Yes, it's frequently used with the word observation, like someone makes a piquant observation, which is
well,
on point and pleasant and, yeah.
It's what?
Yeah, like a piquant.
That doesn't use one of those definitions. What the hell is
where
a piquant observation?
Where are your definitions here? Let me take a look. Well, yes, a charming, engaging, and provocative observation would be a piquant observation.
Who makes a charming observation?
I do all the time.
Give me an example.
Let's see. What was my last charming observation?
Yeah, I rest my case.
I observed that the Roger Federer so-called store across the street is in fact Feder, an appliance store.
That's not charming.
I guess not.
No.
I just wanted to bring it up again.
It's Roger Federer's.
No, it's not.
Yeah, he is. Sometimes if you listen really carefully, you can hear a tennis ball bouncing against the wall.
Because he's practicing?
Yeah, when things are a little slow over in the appliance store.
There are a lot of sounds out on Miranda Street. A tennis ball being hit by a professional against a wall is not one of them.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is.
That's somebody's head.
No, that's another non-piquant observation that you've known.
Well, we're going to add piquant to the list of words that you're going to forget.
I'm hoping. That's the thing. I do keep forgetting the words. You know, my short-term memory loss is enough to make me barely teachable at this point. I find it impossible to keep these words in my head, so I'm trying to use the magic of music to make them mine.
Okay.
Each week, I
the
add a word.
Magic of music to make them mine. That's good.
Yeah, thank you. That's a piquant observation. Each week, I add a word to our vocabulary song, and of course, we are begging listeners to compose a more effective song than I've been able to conjure.
Which is, in point of fact, terrible.
Thank you.
Okay.
Another piquant observation, I guess.
No, it's a little bit mean, but it's true.
Cat Stevens, if you're listening, this
please.
Seems right up your alley.
Anybody, brothers and sisters, bail us out.
All right, here's my best.
Oh,
so
boy.
This is the...
Do you want some accompaniment from Alexei Chebelev?
If he can...
Alexei, just listen to what she's singing and see if you can play along. That's going to be probably the greatest challenge of your musical career to date. All right. All right.
Thank you, Alexei. All right, ready?
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some, too. What I got is the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy, and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on, and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft. and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that too. Like so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
Oh, they are so European. And you can get those kind of, you can get washable silk tops. You can get 14 karat gold jewelry and like all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because
First sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium Elite Collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix Sleep Quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux, and I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're going to get it anyway,
use our code. Adam, you know I have a house full of cats and a couple of big dogs. So I have this one cat who every night likes to stand in the hallway and yowl. And he has kind of a little bit like me because of allergies. I don't know why he has it, but his name is Theo and he has a really gravelly voice. So he'll, it's hard to describe it. I can't do a good impression, but it's a little dusty, gravelly voice. Okay. So earlier I was laying on the living room floor because I'm exhausted and I'm wearing a nylon fiberfill vest. As I'm laying on the floor, Theo shoves his head through one sleeve of the vest and crawls up and is now stuck inside in between my back and the vest and is yowling because he can't get out. And then finally his head comes out the other sleeve and he goes out. What's not to love? That's what I say. What is not to love?
Which brings me to this. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program.
Your pet is part of your family, you know that already, and you want the best for them no matter what. But vet bills can really add up. Go ahead, ask me. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. That's a lot of pets.
True.
They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are.
Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account.
To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/Paula. That's ASPCA. We spell that ASPCA. Petinsurance.com/Paula. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code. I've really forgotten the tune entirely. This week's word is piquant. It's an adjective that means pleasantly savory, pungent. It can also mean engagingly provocative, also having a lively charm. Last week's word was opprobrium. It's a noun meaning disgrace or reproach brought from conduct considered shameful. Looking back, we also had clack. It's a noun that means individual, organized, group, hired to applaud a performance, as in a theater. The week before that, the word was horologe. It's a noun that means timepiece as a clock, watch, or hourglass. The week before, the word was probity, a noun meaning moral excellence, integrity. Another week back, we had nugatory. It's an adjective that means inconsequential, worthless, having no force. Go with me, Alexi. Having no force in operative. Adam didn't think it was the right word to describe the incorrectly prescribed antibiotic for my bladder infection, but I did.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Now,
what do you think, Alexi?
I have a couple of little observations.
Yeah.
The way that you're constructing this song is you're just adding another word onto the front end.
You just figured
every
that
week.
Out?
Well, I just want to say that, like, what I think is great about this week's is that it's shorter than next week's. So, first observation. And something in mind. last week, I accused you of catching a little bit of the melody from Lullaby of Broadway.
But I couldn't have because I've never seen it or heard it.
Okay. It's a song. Come on along. I'll take you to listen to the lullaby of Broad. That's what you're stealing. Now
no,
I don't think that anymore.
I'm not stealing anything.
Now I think what you're stealing is the human rights violation known as the 1-877 Cars for Kids ad. I think that's what you got there. But Alexi, thank you for trying.
Brilliant, Alexi. Thank you.
All right. Now, listeners, if you'd like to send us your original vocabulary song, we're at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com.
Yeah.
That's right.
Cat Stevens, that's where we are.
Yes. Please save us. Coming up, an old Chinese proverb says, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time is now. Jim Hardy, director of park operations for Tree People, will talk to us about planting trees right now when we return on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Nice. And we're back, Paula. Speaking of fly me to the moon, trees.
Trees.
I'm trying to master a segue. I'm not succeeding.
No,
Paula,
that was
the
good.
New York Times published this news item from Washington State. It turns out that prisoners in solitary confinement were given a document with tips on how to relieve stress. And one of those tips was plant a tree.
I'm not surprised.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it would ease the burden of solitary confinement, but it's a nice idea planting a tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. You feel a little connection to the thing when you plant it.
You've planted many a tree.
Well, a couple. I wouldn't say many, but a couple. Okay.
Well, you have planted trees with the help of Tree People, right? The organization.
Yes.
You love that organization, don't
What's
you?
Not to love? It's a beautiful, they have a beautiful park.
Yes, up there in the hills.
Up in the hills. And then also they do education and advocacy for both trees and conservation. And we are so lucky now.
Yes, they're an organization that inspires and supports people of L.A. to come together and plant and care for trees, harvest the rain, and renew depleted landscapes. We're thrilled to have someone here who can answer all our questions about trees, and we have so many. He is the director of park operations for those Tree People. Please welcome Jim Hardy.
Thank you, Jim.
Jim, welcome.
Great to be here.
So you're up there in the hills planting trees?
Yes.
Okay.
And taking care of them up there in the hills, in the park.
In the park.
We plant trees all over the city with people in their communities. We go out and make communities greener, schoolyards, churchyards, streets. We're transforming Los Angeles.
That's wonderful.
Why are trees important?
Oxygen, shade, beauty, health. Trees actually calm your heart level. They've done studies showing that people in hospitals looking out a room window at trees actually heal faster than people with the same ailments in a room that looks out on asphalt and concrete.
Wow.
True stuff. Not
what about the middle
jungle.
Ground, like other plants, like grass?
That's good too. Well,
shrubs.
It's good to look at.
Yeah.
Because it's green. We evolved in that kind of environment. We humans a million years ago in Africa, we were surrounded by greenery. But when you talk about grass in L.A., you bring my mind to the fact that we want people in L.A. to create sustainable landscapes.
And
you know where I'm going with this.
Right.
Grass is a water
is not
gobbler.
One of them. Yeah.
In most cases.
Yeah.
Our garden should have succulents and things in them, right?
Well, succulents are one way to go, but there's plenty of wonderful native plants and plants from other similar climates. This is a Mediterranean climate that we're in, a dry climate, but around the world there are other plants that aren't succulents. You can have leafy, beautiful, colorful plants if you select right. You don't have to go with succulents and cactus. But plant the right thing in the right place, and it will survive in this climate, and you don't need all that water.
Now, Jim Hardy happens to be a good friend of mine, and I've known Jim
This Jim Hardy?
This Jim Hardy that
oh,
we have
wow.
here. I turned to Adam to say that Jim is a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
And I've known Jim for years, and Jim, you're an energetic guy.
Yes.
And the idea that trees are calming makes me shudder.
Yes.
At the idea, like, what if you worked in the concrete industry? You'd be like a basket case.
You're absolutely right. And that's why I love going to the park. Because
it's all that's keeping the lid on you.
Oh, my God.
But they also make you feel good, and they give you energy in that sense, right, to turn that inside out. I mean, they make you feel good. People come to the park, and all the time they say how they love it there because it's tranquil. They get away from the city. It's quiet. I told you this story over the summer. A woman in the park, one of the regulars, talked to me on the trails with tears in her eyes, saying she comes to the park and it helped her get through her divorce.
Wow.
Wow.
Because of the feelings, you know, the calm, the nice, the escape from the tension below.
That's really nice. You know, maybe if she had come before the divorce, she could have...
kept the marriage together.
Maybe with the partner. That's, you know, it's a matter of order of operations.
Absolutely.
It's so important here.
I really hope
that was your quick rejoinder to her.
I hope it wasn't.
That was your comforting rejoinder. Why didn't you come before? You'd still be with the asshole. Now, let me ask you, do you have to plan? Plant trees? Don't they just grow?
Well, they do.
I mean, how did forests get there?
Mother Nature.
Yes, exactly.
And they do. But if you're planting trees in an urban environment, especially a dry urban environment like ours, they need help. They need human help to get started and care in those early years to get established. Just like young kids need help. Trees, especially in a dry city
like this. To help young kids?
Well,
oh, I feel awful.
No, you just halfway bury them and pour water on them.
Oh, I feel horrible.
And so they do need planting. But you know, you're from Massachusetts, right?
Yeah.
We had woods behind our house. My wife and I love going to Vermont, right? Same thing.
We never once watered a tree my whole life.
Well, you don't. In an environment like that, you probably don't need to water. Maybe you water when you plant it. But
it's a biome where the trees that are there naturally are adapted for the exact kind of climate that they're in.
Very good. but think about this. Picture those beautiful forests of Massachusetts and Vermont. Go back 100 years ago, and most of those, seriously, were clear-cut, right, to supply lumber in the 1800s for Boston, New York, as those cities grew. Mostly clear-cut. But now you're driving through forests. That's Mother Nature at work. That's very inspiring to me in terms of if we just let nature do its thing in some places.
In a generation or two, it
renews itself.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, did Johnny Appleseed just drop seeds as he walked, or did he do more for them than that?
He followed Paul Bunyan along.
There was no Johnny Appleseed.
No, there wasn't?
No.
There wasn't really a Johnny Appleseed?
No, that guy
over at Federer's lied to you.
I feel awful.
There was a Johnny Appleseed. It's based on truth. But from grade school, most of us have this kind of image. Yes, he just dropped seeds and went on his way. But more intelligently, he...
One second. Captain Crinkle. No, honestly, Bonnie Burns...
I'm not sure the listeners can hear.
I know the listeners can't.
She's drinking from a plastic water bottle.
And squeezing it.
To impress our conservationist friend, she's drinking from a plastic water bottle, and she's playing it like an accordion.
Yeah.
You interrupted him.
I would see it another way.
Now she's complaining that I interrupted him.
Sorry, Jim. This is the kind of stuff we have to put up with here.
Put it down, Bonnie. Okay.
The great thing about Johnny Appleseed was that he actually created nurseries. Seriously, he successfully than just throwing seeds in the ground, he created nurseries, grew saplings and seedlings for other people to plant, right?
Oh, that's
good. He would create a nursery.
That's not in the book, Jim.
Well, it's there. I think it's on Wikipedia.
I have a Johnny Appleseed book that I used to read to my kids, and he just wore a pot on his head and dropped seeds.
Well, yeah, that's not him.
He was a character, and he was also spreading a particular religion of the time. I can't remember the name of it.
But Jesus. It's an ugly story when it gets down to it.
Oh, was it one of those like 19th century cult things?
Yes, because it was this early 1820s or 1810s.
That was a very
He was Jim Jones
time.
With a green thumb. Yeah. I don't like it.
Well, one of the stories about him is that because he camped out just without any bedding or anything at night, would build a campfire. When he saw that mosquitoes were dying in the flames, he put out the fire because he didn't want that precious life of the mosquitoes heart.
Okay, that guy was messed
up. Wow, yeah. Died of malaria, he did.
And then he died happily of malaria at the age of 32. Hey, can you save my palm tree?
No.
Okay.
What's the problem?
Okay, well, a friend of mine called and let me know that he had two palm tree, I guess they're called saplings at that, but that had dropped off his big palm tree. And we brought them over to my house. I planted two of them on the front lawn like 18 months ago. One died almost immediately, and the other one... It's shorter than it used to be, although it is pushing out. It is pushing out some hopeful fronds right now.
It's shorter than it used to be.
It's growing down.
They don't usually grow down. I mean, I'm not an expert like Jim, but that doesn't sound right.
It was a taller stalk, and then the stalk kind of broke. But now it's sending up another shoot, and I want it to live this time.
Were you watering it?
Yes.
Well, here's, I'll tell you something. I know very little about palm trees. We were, first of all, palm trees are not trees. They're really a grass relative. They're a relative of grass.
I didn't know that.
Wow. A whole separate family. Have you ever cut a palm tree across the trunk?
What kind of monster do you think I am?
You won't see the rings of a tree. You'll see these, it looks like spaghetti threads coming through. It's grass. Yeah. It's grass.
It does grow really weirdly. Because these green shoots come up through the middle and then they kind of unfurl into these fronds. It's kind of cool.
So but they're not native to here either, are they?
There are palms that are native to like the desert region, palm desert out there and in Mexico, but not to the LA area.
Where,
they're all imported.
Like what countries or
the Middle East, you find them
in Hawaii,
Africa,
the
and there's some in the Pacific. There, there's like a thousand different.
There's a lot of
varieties. So in the Pacific, it's not unusual for someone to say, "Honey, can you go mow the palm tree?" Is that correct?
Yeah.
That is incorrect.
Yeah. Oh, damn it!
You wouldn't be able to mow it just because it's related to grass.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Okay.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
And the point I was going to make, and this is no offense, Adam, because I love the fact that you're planting things, but palms don't really do a lot of what we love trees to do in terms of providing a canopy that will shade an area, cool it down, shade your home, lessen your need for air conditioning.
Oh, we're barely using our front lawn.
Well, there you go. A cluster of palm trees in times will do that. We'll provide some shade and so on.
So now I got to plant a cluster. See, this is how they get you, Paula.
Yeah.
This is how these tree salesmen get you.
Clusters of palms are good.
Okay.
Clusters of palms. But again, we also tree people, bringing it back to the work we do, we work with volunteers when we're planting. We go to people in their community. And palm trees are usually so friggin' heavy and big. It's not practical to work with volunteers. We like to work with smaller trees initially.
I hear you.
Now, Jim planted two Chinese elms at my house. One he planted in the backyard and one in the front yard. And I named the trees. I named the backyard one Jim and the front yard one Eileen for Jim's wife, Eileen.
Oh, so nice.
My dog Mo, the pod puppy, who's laying at our feet right now, has ravaged Jim the tree. She will not leave it alone. She has stripped the bark from it multiple times, and we keep putting.
What is she, a deer?
We've multiple times put fencing and this and that around. She digs down to the root ball. She tunnels through, even if you put a fence around it. And then when Jim came here tonight, she kept growling and barking at him. So there's some relationship
between that tree and
she
Jim.
She doesn't like the name Jim. I don't know. She wouldn't have fallen for the Kool-Aid thing.
Wow.
The tree is still alive, even though she took a lot of bark. And I know you've seen it since she.
And I was saying, well, let's wait until spring to see what it does. Right now, it's holding on. There's still enough of the cambium, the living layer under the bark. If you've ever scratched a branch. As a kid, you scratch a young branch, you see green, bright green.
Underneath. Oh, yeah.
That's where the life of the tree is. There's tubes and cells sending water from the roots up to the leaves and sending sugar back down to help the tree grow. What's the chemical formula of water?
H2O.
What's the chemical formula of CO2, which trees breathe in?
Oh, that I know that one. It's
the chemical formula of carbon dioxide is CO2.
Yeah.
Okay. So the water is pumped up to the leaves, H2O. CO2 is breathed in by the tree. It mixes together through photosynthesis
and creates a sugar.
Creates a sugar because it pushes out the O2, the oxygen, to us humans, right? And it leaves the sugars, carbohydrates, C's and H's, and they go and make the tree grow. So with your tree in your backyard, there's still enough of that living layer under the bark to keep it alive for now. And potentially, if the tree is kept well watered and cared for, it can close over, scar over those areas in time.
I'm hoping
just in time for a motor attack
it again. The tree has sugar in it?
Yes. Well, it's a form of sugar, yes.
Who wants to try again with the Butterfinger recipe.
Captain Crinkle, yeah.
If she were to take the parts of Jim the tree that Mo brings her, would she be able to make a Butterfinger with it?
She probably could try.
No, she couldn't.
She'll try.
One, if she used stripped tree bark, it would taste better than what she did last time. But two, it's the outer bark. That doesn't have any sugars in it, right?
Not the outer bark, but the layer right under that, the cambium.
Yeah, that's the one Mo was after.
There's the xylem and the phloem on the sides of the cambium.
I remember that from high school science.
It was my fault for training the dog that way. I said, go get the cambium. Go get the cambium.
Yeah, you shouldn't have done that. that.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
That was you.
Go back to Vermont. Where what do they harvest out of maple trees?
Oh, right. Sure, sure.
Oh, yeah, I know this one. Okay. I know this one. Corn syrup. Yeah.
So close.
And any kind of fruit, right? Sugar. That beautiful sugar in an orange or apple, whatever, is produced by the tree through that process of H2O, CO2, O2, and all of that.
Did you see my orange tree when you were at the house?
I saw it.
Is it root-bound in that pot, do you think?
Root-bound?
Oh, that's a great question.
That's a great word.
I didn't look that close, but it's important to free it from that pot if it is root-bound. Yeah.
How long can it stay in the pot?
I don't know. How long has it been in the pot?
A few years.
Oh, goodness.
Years.
It's time to set it free.
It's sort of the cami of the...
But do you want to keep it? I mean, let's find a place to plant it in the yard. Yeah, set
that's
it free.
A good idea.
Yeah. Is it bearing fruit?
Mo would love that.
Yes.
Yeah, it does bear fruit. Yeah.
Well, we can build a bigger cage around that.
That's a good idea. Yeah. We should just put a cage around Mo.
That's kind of the solution.
A cage with wheels on it.
I'd say Pod Pup was chewing my shoe earlier in this very podcast.
She's only 9 months, so she is still in a very...
At this point,
she's a big 9 months, but she likes to chew. The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events, such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric.
Urgh.
They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paul, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And if
there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, "Is it Renee?" And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me down there my whole life.
You can listen now to season 2 of Proof, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
All right. Now, is there a technique, Jim, for planting trees.
Yes, yes. And
could you share with us?
I will.
That'll cost you.
Do you hear how energetic he is?
He's super energetic.
He's calm from the trees.
We need to bring like a shrub in here quick.
Yeah, if he worked with plastics, we'd be fucked.
I'd say two things everyone should know about planting a tree. First of all, when you take it out of its pot, you want to free those roots. Seriously, we say massage the roots, because if the roots are root bound, if the tree is root bound and the roots are circling, it'll stay in that pattern the rest of its life. Okay,
really? So
you, which is what you want for a palm, but again, a palm isn't a tree.
Well, yes, or a palm.
Why would you bring that up?
Because I had to plant it.
Palm roots, and it was like, palm roots are different.
Ball, yeah.
But yes, anything, even a house plant, you'd want to free the roots. If you could get a house plant in a 1 gallon container, and its roots will be circling the bottom.
Right.
You want to gently break those free so that they'll start to spread. Sometimes after a big storm in Los Angeles, you'll see a 50-year-old tree that's fallen over, right? Uprooted, and its roots are in a circle because it was never broken out of that pattern when it was planted.
Oh. So, well, can you... Okay, because Bill Irwin, who was a guest on our show, actor Bill,
this
Bill
one's true.
Irwin, he gave me a shrub at Christmas a couple years ago. It was like, I think he'd gotten it at like a grocery store, plant thing or something. It came in a little teeny pot, and it was tied up with red ribbon, but it was like a evergreen of some sort. I think it's a shrub. But I don't know the difference. But anyways, we kept it. And then we replanted it, but we never unbound its roots.
Yeah. Well,
can you go back in and unbind the roots? Because it's thriving.
You could repot it. You could up-pot it or replant it. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'm
Has
worried.
It been in, you put it in the ground or in another pot?
It's just in another pot.
Yeah. You can repot it and just gently, with no deeper than your first knuckle, break those roots free. You can even cut them off.
Should I bring it to like a masseuse?
Well, I don't know of ones who do that. But
are there tree sousas?
There probably are, for God's sakes, but I don't know.
Well, you're a tree people. Yet.
Well, we don't go that far. The second thing is, when you plant the tree, the number one killer of trees planted by humans is they're planted too deep, okay? If you look at your hand, if this is the roots, and this is the trunk,
we're kind of an audio broadcast.
Now the trunk starts at your wrist, is that right?
There's no cameras?
No.
No, we can physically do anything we want.
But think, for folks listening, think of your wrist as what's called the root crown. In other words, these are the roots.
So the fingers are the roots.
The tree starts to flare from the trunk as it
the wrist, so the back of your hand would be the
root flare or the root crown. If you put that too deep in the soil when you plant, it creates a rot. That soil around, yes, you hate that.
Yeah.
The soil around covering the crown will set in a rot, and the tree may live for some years, but in time it'll kill the tree. So plant the tree a little bit above grade when you put it in the ground after you've massaged those roots.
When you guys planted the trees in our yard, did you massage the roots? Because maybe that's why Mo keeps trying to dig it up. She's like, these haven't been massaged.
We massaged them. I thought we did pretty well, but God knows, Mo may no difference.
Yeah, she's a sensitive dog. You threatened me with the possibility of us overwatering.
Yes.
Which I live in fear of.
Oh, don't live in fear.
I do.
Test the soil. And if you put your finger, again, we're talking about knuckles, and nobody's going to see this.
Put your finger up to which knuckle?
Up to the second knuckle. And if it's moist like coffee grounds after you've brewed coffee, that's fine. But you don't want it murky or muddy, because you can overwater.
Yeah.
And there's a tendency of people to worry about it, and they keep today's 90 degrees, I'll give us more water.
Yeah.
But you can actually harm the tree in time. Essentially, you're drowning the roots, because they also need oxygen. Air pressure pushes oxygen down into the top 12, 18 inches of soil.
Oh, wow. So
roots need a certain amount of oxygen.
That's why if you have a victim, bury them deep.
Yes.
Because
you don't want them breathing.
Oh. No, I don't think it works that way.
No. Now you gave us those big green tree people buckets.
Yes.
Am I right, and I'm going to feel like an idiot if I'm not, that you told us to pour two of those on each time we...
Yeah.
Because I find that, you know, and I pour them really slowly, but still there's like a little puddle sometimes near the, this, around the
this
trunk.
This is turning super
is that
specific
bad?
To your yard.
in there's term, a reason
terms of
for this.
Spreading knowledge to
no,
our listeners and
other
stuff.
Other people need to know, do you, if there's a puddle around the trunk, is that bad?
Yes, that's a great question, because if it's okay. taking withdrawn. A long time for the water to percolate down, then yes, back off on the water. You know, okay. wait a week, wait okay. 10 days. All right. And
should she
right?
take the saran wrap off the tree?
Yes.
I don't have saran wrap on the tree.
Yes, you do.
What are pine cones for? Well, is that nature's way of giving us table decorations?
Pine cones hold the seeds of the pine trees, or any conifer has cones, right? There's
a
all
what?
Sorts of any conifer. That's the
evergreens. Conifer,
the family of evergreens with needles. Pines, spruces, redwoods, cedars are all conifers.
I had no idea.
They all have cones of some kind,
as opposed to deciduous trees and stuff.
Yes.
I thought you said
my hand again?
Yeah.
When the cone.
He was doing another visual demonstration. Tell me, Jim. I'll get it.
But when the cone is tight for you.
Okay.
All,
when the cone is tight and he's making a fist.
The seeds are growing inside, and then
the seeds are growing
then
inside.
The cone
and
opens.
Then
no, now you're just repeating
up.
His words.
Sorry, you're right. I did. Okay. So he opened it. So he had a tight fist to show the cone when the cone is tight.
But then when
and then when it opens up and he loosened his hand.
Cone open, the seeds yeah. fall out, and some of them are tiny. Out. Giant redwood tree, 200 feet tall, 1,500 years old, grows from a seed that looks like a piece of pepper. You know,
wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay, now I just got past a whiteboard from Captain Crinkle, and on it, she speaks of herself in the third person.
Really,
and it
Trump?
Says, and what I love about it is I'm going to pretend that that's not an abbreviation, because what she's written here, and let's get a picture of this, is Captain Crinkle has a quest. Now, Captain Crinkle,
yes,
I would say
to make
get
a lot
out,
of
walk
noise.
Out that door, and bon voyage on that quest,
yeah,
Captain Crinkle. It's a question.
Yeah.
All right, Captain Crinkle's a good question.
Why didn't you write the question on the board?
and what was, in what world is quest an abbreviation for question?
No, really okay, wrote, there are some, okay, and look. Okay, go ahead. What's your question? No, why would you?
And I didn't want to interrupt you.
Well, now you've interrupted us, and we can't hear you. Our listeners can't hear you. So ask your question.
She says she didn't want to interrupt us, but you're not on the microphone, Bunny. You want the mic?
Oh, this is such a bad idea. But ladies and gentlemen, this is Captain Crinkle.
Okay, this is my question.
Yes.
How stupid do you have to be to try and grow a lemon tree from a lemon seed?
so the question was, how stupid do you have to be to try to grow a lemon tree from a lemon seed?
Well, you know, fruit trees are fruit trees are another thing in that a lot of them bear fruit and the seed is what's the word? When a guy can't do it.
It's impotent.
Impotent. But
wait, is it impotent or is it...
this is the
Peronies.
Word.
Is it infertile?
Infertile. Thank
right.
you. There we go.
Right. Lemons trees can get it up.
Yeah. But is it crooked sometimes? That's
yeah,
Peronies.
Yeah, they bend to the left
know.
more
yeah,
frequently
exactly.
than to the right, I
no,
hear.
No, that's a carrot. What? Oh, jeez.
But in other words, some fruit trees are grown as hybrids, like so you're not going to get a true lemon necessarily from it. So
what do you mean you're not going to get a true lemon?
Well,
get a lion lemon?
Yeah, a lemon that cheats on you.
Yeah.
you also...
Do I smell lime? On your rind? No. No.
You
I've just been in your yard
lemon.
The whole time.
That's a place in the administration for that.
Lion Lemon. It sounds like the worst blues singer ever.
Lion Lemon.
Which isn't to say you shouldn't try it, but there are also sometimes with some fruit trees seeds, you have to prepare the seed beforehand.
You have to prepare the seed?
Well,
like this? Like you put it in the palm of your hand, you go, look, I'm going to put you in the ground now. I don't want this to come as a surprise to you. It's going to be dark, but there'll still be oxygen.
Some need to be dried out for a period before you plant them, that kind of thing. That's what I'm getting at. So beyond that, I don't know.
How stupid do you have to be?
Yeah, it was a question about intelligence, really.
Right. It was.
It had almost nothing to do with lemon trees.
Wait, now she's coming back to the microphone. This is the danger. It's like letting a vampire in. If you let her start talking, look, she's leaning over. It's the worst thing.
This is why I ask, because when your kids are
close to the microphone.
When your kids are in elementary school, they have them, you know, get a seed and then you get the root on it and you plant it, which I did with my daughter. And people I know, the same girlfriends with the candy, were like now laughing, saying it would take 7 years for it to grow.
Her kid went to a really fucked up school. The kids never had fruit because they just waited. A lot of them got like rickets.
We planted the lemon tree.
Yeah.
Enjoy your rickets.
Waited and waited. Yeah, it was
What's
awful.
Your dinner, rickets? Now, I don't know why Captain Kringle felt the need to come to the microphone to elaborate, except to let us know that, that
she's
her candy-making
friends. She's still trying to get her money back from that private school. When Bonnie's kid went to college, Bonnie photoshopped her head onto a lemon to get her in.
Worst cheating ever.
Yeah. Bonnie's going to the big house for it.
All right.
Oh, my God. This has been so informative.
It really has,
Jim.
And thank you, Jim Hardy, for watering the roots of our knowledge about trees. Now, Paula, based on that, what advice can you give our listeners about planting trees?
Oh, actually, can I have some sappy music to underscore this summary? Nice. We need trees for shade and to keep the divorce rate down. Have you ever heard of a dysfunctional family that lives in a tree? Of course not. You know the expression. If your limb neighbors are squirrels, you'll have nice girls. Trees are important, but you can fuck them up if you have a pod puppy or if you plant them too deep or if you overwater. Actually, they cause stress. You know what this is?
What is happening?
It's the sound of a root ball being massaged before you plant it. So the roots spread.
All right. Jim Hardy is Director of Park Operations for Tree People. You can get more information about Tree People, its mission, and its upcoming events at treepeople.org. Jim, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Jim Hardy.
Next up, we've jumped 130 spots on the comedy podcast chart in Poland. Our salute to Poland, coming up right after this. The cat of the week is Benjicat Franklin from Belchertown, Massachusetts. So, Paula, breaking news. We are hot, not in Cleveland, in Poland.
Wow!
We might be hot in Cleveland, too, but it's kind of big news because we've jumped 130 spots to rise up to number 119 on their comedy podcast charts.
So we had Tony and Anita Hull look into this.
Yes, and it turns out that comes to 225 downloads, which is a lot for people who speak Polish over the course of 3 months.
Yeah, it's a lot for us.
Yeah, yeah.
We thought we were killing in Moldova, and it turned out we had like 3 listeners.
Right.
Yeah.
So Paula's no Moldova.
No.
Moldova.
We're really taking up.
So let's bring Tony Anita Hull up to the microphone like we customarily do when we get hot in some other country for our salute to Poland. Tony Anita Hull, everybody.
Tony Anita Hull. Now, Tony is wearing her Greek peplos tonight because Tom Hanks, who isn't here, thank you, Anthony, Tom Hanks insisted that she wear her Greek peplos in order for him to show up. But normally she would be wearing the traditional, when representing our success in Poland, the traditional Polish woman's dress, a white blouse with embroidery, a black vest with adornments, a full skirt with a floral pattern, an apron, a headdress, and boots. And a red coral beaded necklace.
I'm surprised that you were prepared to say all that, Paul.
Yeah, it's something I happen to know.
Off the top of your head?
Well, you know, the other thing is that the way we're providing these costumes is with the help from Scott Franciscus, Scott Franciscus, our benefactor.
Yeah.
And we want to thank him again.
No, he's not. He's just a winner of a bar of hotel soap that Tony, you bring up Tony's worst moment, the moment she comes to my room. And by the way, we haven't let her speak yet.
Adam, answer the phone.
The phone?
Yeah, the phone.
I don't want to answer
Adam,
the phone.
Adam, answer the phone.
I really don't want to.
Answer the phone.
Hello?
Adam, it's me, Winnie Feynman.
Who?
Winnie Feynman. I can't believe I got thrown the phone to you.
Winnie Feynman.
Have you been getting my cards?
I have not.
The big one with the heart, I made it for you special. Did you get it?
No.
Because I just love you so much.
Winnie, where are you from?
I think you're brilliant. I know you're on every show, but still I have an anxiety attack sometimes thinking that you're not going to be on a show.
Oh.
I just love you so much. Did you get the picture I painted of us?
No, I did not, Winnie.
You didn't? I'm going to breathe weird. Every time you say something out of me, part of me just melts. I just want you to know I love you so much.
Winnie, this is uncomfortable. I'm going to ask you what I've asked some of our other callers.
I Winnie? Can't believe you didn't get my card.
Winnie, how are you
it's
calling a pre-taped podcast, Winnie?
I can't believe I got through to you. The phone lines were so busy. You're so important to me.
Winnie, you sound a bit on the neurotic side. I'm wondering how you got our phone number and how you called while we're recording.
I've just been calling and calling. Are you recording now?
Yes, we are, Winnie.
Oh, I've just been calling and calling. It's so important to me that you get the heart that I sent you because I love you so
Winnie,
much.
Winnie, this is a little uncomfortable. It's a little uncomfortable.
Adam, I have to go now.
Okay.
I really love you. Thank you.
No, it's fine.
I'm going to send you something else in the mail.
No, please don't. Please don't.
I just want you to have this picture that I painted of the two of us together.
Oh, boy. You said something about having to go?
I have to go now, Adam.
Okay, that's good.
Jesus, I love you.
Okay. Bye, Winnie.
Bye, Adam.
Wow, what was that about?
Gee, boy, you really knock her socks
off. It's nice to have a fan.
You know, I mean, I like you, but that is powerful.
Yeah, that was a little much. That made me, as I said, that made me uncomfortable.
So, Tony, what can you tell us about Poland?
Yeah, let's learn all about Poland.
College in Poland is free.
What?
If you're a Polish citizen, you can attend a state-run university without paying tuition.
What is it, Bernie Sanders land?
I love that. That's fantastic.
Bernie Sanders has been talking about that,
about Poland?
No, not about Poland, about making college tuition free. He always says it. I think college tuition ought to be free.
He says that?
Yeah, he says that.
Yeah.
It should be free.
Yeah, like in Poland. That's like the last thing he says. Like in Poland.
I favor the Polish model of secondary education. It should be free.
If I weren't looking right at you, I would be like, Bernie, is that you? Well, okay, one thing I know is that as of 2011, they had a 99.7 literacy rate, so they read the Mueller report. Maybe it's because they go to college for free there.
What else can you tell us about this wonderful land before Paula takes all the factoids?
Buying an even number of flowers for funerals is considered a faux pas.
A faux pas. Didn't we have a vocabulary word that also meant faux pas?
A solicism.
There we go.
That is just
nicely done.
That is just
plain weird.
That
reaches like a year back into your pocket. Maybe we don't need that stupid
song.
Last
week's word was solicism. It means faux pas or social.
Okay, so it's a solicism.
That is just the weirdest thing. Because, all right, say you have somebody die that's close to you and you're mourning, you're like crying, you're weeping. Somebody kindly gives you flowers and then you go, how many? How many did he give me?
A dozen.
Fuck you! That's just weird.
Yeah.
That is just plain weird.
It is a little weird. I insist at my parties that anybody brings me anything, it has to be a prime number of those things.
Yeah. Oh, well, you're talking about it. I'm talking about somebody died.
Yeah.
Somebody died. And
who died,
and,
Paula?
I don't know. Somebody.
Name her.
Well, I have one example of a death.
Oh, yeah, look,
you know, when Captain Culpepper passed, it would have never occurred to me to count the flowers that were given during our period of mourning.
Were there many flowers sent, Mrs. Culpepper?
There were many. Oh, it was a garden of flowers. Yeah. As you look out, Captain Culpepper was a beloved, beloved man.
What branch of the service did Captain Culpepper serve in?
Important branch of the service.
Okay, the important branch of the service.
He was Captain Culpepper was in the army. He was in the
army. He was an army captain.
He was an army captain. That's correct.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's right.
Did he ever fight in Poland?
That's absurd. No, he did not fight in Poland.
I don't know why that would be absurd, but anyway, Tony, what else you got for us on the hot sheet?
Poland is the 9th largest country in Europe, both in terms of population and territory.
Oh,
it's bigger than Italy and the UK.
Combined?
Separately.
Oh.
Well, that's good, though, in terms of population and territory, because, you know, if you have a lot of people but a small territory, you get, you know, people
crowded.
You get people fucking with one another. You know what I mean? Like purposely giving an even number of flowers at people's funerals and stuff.
Because they're annoyed at the crowding
conditions.
Just
because they just don't get along. Wow, that's this is beautiful.
Now, I understand you brought a little bit of the Polish national anthem
yes,
with us.
Yes, if we could have.
Wait, I have to ask a question. What industries come from Poland? Does anybody know? Because I looked up their industry. They don't even make poles. I thought that was weird.
Well, that's not weird. I mean,
they're missing some branding opportunities, don't you think?
That is
what
true.
With the popularity of pole dancing and all.
You have a point.
Yeah.
But are poles that profitable? It seems like you put in one pole and a lot of people dance on it.
Well, yeah, but poles are used for lots and lots of things.
Yeah, I just don't know. I don't know about that.
Yeah. You know, used for fencing and stuff. There's a lot of... We used to have a pole in our basement. I was forever whacking my head on it, even though I don't think that's what it was there for.
Okay. So, no, I guess we don't know much about the industries. Do you want to enlighten us, Paula?
No, I don't know much about the industries.
What are the main industries in Poland, Tony Anita Hall?
I don't know.
All right, then let's play that national anthem like
so
I requested.
Sorry.
No, it's all right.
The name of the national anthem is Poland Is Not Yet Lost.
Oh.
Which
I think is kind of
Poland
sad.
Is Not
be
Yet Lost.
Lost.
Yeah, it says, that is some depressing
it's
Eastern European
gloomy,
shit right there.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
The original name was Where's Poland?
not yet lost. It's just so pessimistic.
Yeah, it was a little downer.
Let's hear it. Let's hear if it's cheery.
Marco, Poland.
Where's Poland? Where'd you have it last? Oh, it's right here on my forehead. Poland is not yet lost.
Just around the corner, hidden behind the bush. It's a beautiful song. Beautiful song.
Is this Poland? No, it's the Czech Republic. But Poland's right over that way.
Wow. We've now lost all the listeners of Poland.
Look, somebody has to translate those lyrics.
Tony, we're going to put you in charge of our Poland account.
Yeah.
We'd like you to keep the Poland listeners.
Okay, what do all these funny people have in common? Cecily Strong, Jason Mantzoukas, Duncan Trussell, Paul Scheer, Scott Aukerman, Beth Stelling, Tom Papa, Lauren Lapkus, Louis Anderson, Lisa Gilroy, Paul F. Tompkins, and Sir Patrick Stewart. They've all played characters on the hit comedy podcast, Mega, an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch. The next time you're in the mood for some laughs, great guests, out-of-this-world improv and cultural commentary, we're here for you, baby. Listen to Mega anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Is there any other style of music that is popular in Poland?
Oh, mazurkas are popular.
Mazurka is a popular
Polish? What's a mazurka? What is a mazurka?
It's almost kind of sounds like a polka. If you like.
Are polkas Polish?
I don't know.
You didn't do a lot of studying this
I
time,
didn't.
Tony. Were you
Sorry,
busy this
guys.
Week?
I was busy.
Hey, Alexi. Alexi, do you know if polkas are Polish?
I know a German polka. I know Russian polka.
He knows a German polka.
Sound
he knows
like
a Russian
then.
Polka.
Polka sounds like Poland.
It
polka
does,
does
doesn't
sound
it?
Like Poland.
I said the P-O-L.
All right, well, let's hear a little bit of a mazurka because we brought it up. That's nice, and that's no polka. That's nice. That's in waltz time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what the name of that song was?
Thank you, Lexi.
Found Poland.
Yeah.
It was
oh,
over
it's
here
right
the whole
here.
Time.
Poland was just right here.
It was behind the couch. I found Poland. Whoosh. Whoosh.
Whoosh. Who saw that coming?
Oh, okay. Polkas are Bohemian, by the way.
Polkas are Bohemian.
Polkas are Bohemian.
Yes, and there isn't even a Bohemia anymore. Or is Bohemia now in Poland?
Why are you asking all these questions?
Because you're our expert coming on the show.
Yeah. I'm going to have a nervous breakdown.
Jesus. You know, Travel Tony doesn't seem as equipped with knowledge as perhaps she could be. It's time now for Tony's Traveler.
I'm
Stop
really...
Stop asking me questions!
What do you want?
I'm getting so hot.
Hey, Tony, what
Tony
language did I speak in Poland?
Tony says she's getting hot.
I don't know! I'm just helping out.
Oh, right. My gosh. Well, oh, Tony, so thank funny. You for the
thank
information.
You.
Thank you. Tony Nihal, everybody.
Fantastic.
And Poland, thank you for tuning into our show. You're not yet lost. We believe in you.
Yeah, we love you, Poland. Thank you.
Paula, you'll be on the road in the coming weeks as usual. Where are you going to be performing as we approach
you know, Adam,
the dead
I
of winter?
I hate promoting myself. It's awkward. Well, it's the one part of my job that I really don't like.
Well, then I apologize and withdraw the question. Moving on to the
I'll be in San Francisco on New Year's Eve at the Sidney Goldstein Theater that was formerly the Norse. And I'll be in Salt Lake City, Utah on January 17th at the Grand Theater.
All right. Heading to Salt Lake City, huh?
What?
I said you're heading to Salt Lake City.
This is what I heard you say. Hemda, hemda.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's what I heard you.
Only Rick was in it.
Hemda, hemda, Salt Lake City. Yeah, that's right. Exactly what so many of us were thinking.
And I want our listeners to know that Paula will have Poundstone pussy pillows available for sale at these events.
That is correct.
How's the pussy pillows doing, Paula?
They are flying off the shelf,
are
Adam.
They really?
Yeah, they are.
To recap for our listeners, Paula has decided to market a range of new cat toys because she was given 30 pounds of catnip.
35 pounds of catnip.
By, don't tell me, executive producer Doug Berman. And in order to deal with the overflow of catnip in your garage, you're now selling these little cat toys.
Yeah.
You want to describe them?
They're little pillows, as okay. Adam's pointed out. My assistant Wendell has been stitching them in a small factory I've created in my son's old bedroom. And they each have, I don't know, what are they, about maybe 3 inches by 2 inches. And it's a little pillow filled with catnip with a cat joke on one side. And on the other side, I can autograph
you personalize
to your own personal
and
cat.
At the moment, they're only available at your shows.
That is correct. Soon they'll be available on our website.
When we start, because our website is, I heard today out in the street that our website is like,
it's almost finished.
Yeah,
the
it's
new,
like going to launch
website.
Any second.
I mean, we do have a website, Paula, paulapoundstone.com,
right.
But it's being redone as well. There's a new one about to launch.
With an emphasis on the podcast and the pussy pillows.
Exactly. Any minute. Any
now,
minute
I've got to say that when you first described this scheme, before there ever actually was one of these toys,
yes.
I sort of, to be naughty, suggested that we should call them Poundstone's Pussy Pillows.
Yeah.
And it seems like that name is stuck. How are you feeling about that?
Well, good. I mean, I think of it as, you know, an alternative word for cat, not...
Not what?
Well.
What?
You know, it's not a sexual thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you were thinking that?
No, I was thinking you.
Paula!
I was thinking you were thinking. Adam, answer the phone.
No! Who's there?
No, I'm kidding. Adam, I have a cute little cat story.
Okay.
My cat, Clue, hid in the pantry and peed on 3 boxes of soda cans. I had to wash 36 cans of soda a couple of times in order to get the smell off.
You had to wash 36 cans of soda?
A couple of times.
And then you just decided they were okay and drinking the soda right out of the can there.
It's a cute little cat story.
That's not a cute little cat. There's nothing cute about that.
Absolutely. Cute little cat
really?
Story.
Really? All right. Well, Paula will have Poundstone Pussy Pillows available for sale at those events, like I said. And you can find a complete list of her upcoming performances at the aforementioned, still under renovation, paulapoundstone.com. We'll be back after this. According to climate scientists, we have 10 years and 6 weeks until the Earth begins to become uninhabitable.
Hey, if you like your podcast to be focused and well-researched and your podcast host to be uncharismatic, unhorny strangers who have no interest in horses, then this is not the podcast for you.
Yeah, and what's your deal? I'm Emily.
I'm Lisa.
Our show's called Baby Geniuses.
And its hosts are horny adult idiots. We discover weird Wikipedia pages every episode.
We discuss institutional misogyny.
We ask each other the dumbest questions, and our listeners won't stop sending us pictures of their butts.
We haven't asked them to stop, but they also aren't stopping.
Join us on Baby Geniuses
every other week on MaximumFun.org.
got a message for you.
Hi, it's me, April Wolfe, the host of Switchblade Sisters and co-writer of the new horror film Black Christmas.
And I'm Katie Walsh, film critic and occasional host of Switchblade Sisters.
We're here to announce that for one episode, we will be doing something a little different. Much like Jeff Goldblum and David Cronenberg's The Fly, I will be going through a truly disturbing transformation.
April will transform from the interviewer into the interviewee. I will be asking her all about her new film, Black Christmas, her writing process, and ongoing existential dread.
But I will also be discussing John Carpenter's perfect masterpiece, Prince of Darkness.
You guys seen any movies you like?
So tune in to Switchblade Sisters for a one-of-a-kind episode with April Wolfe and me, Katie Walsh.
See you then.
Only the corrupt I listen to now.
On this day in unremarkable history, Bobby Fischer said, "Please pass the salt." No, you took your finger off it. It's my turn.
Welcome back, all you nobodies. Hey, Paula Poundstone. Do you have any messages?
I have a message.
Damn it,
Adam. This week I have a message.
Okay.
For the listeners.
Now, Paula, I just want to say that when you do this simple sample dialogue that we get to every week,
yeah,
increasingly there's a really long ramp up to even getting to the dialogue.
Yeah.
Where you're spelling out the need for it. And I feel like our listeners might be on that page already.
Adam, I know I speak for both of us when I say we love making this podcast.
We do.
And I think it also has been valuable. Let's face it. We've practically saved Thomas Coyne's life.
Yeah.
He's been dragged somewhere by a bear. And with the help of dedicated nobodies, we're on the verge of finding him.
We're not.
Unfortunately, the only way we can continue to make the show is if we increase the numbers of listeners we reach.
And there's any number of ways to do that. We could put the show on YouTube, I'm hearing.
As you know, I'm saving up the money I make selling, among other things, Poundstone Pussy Pillows, which are delightful, fresh catnip toys handmade at Poundstone Incorporated.
And not
and
what you were thinking out there. Shame on you.
At my live shows. I'm saving the money to buy commercial time for Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, during the Super Bowl.
That's great.
Which costs $5.25 million for 30 seconds. But there's a possibility I might not make it. The best way to spread the word about our podcast is word of mouth. Each listener sharing with their friends and family that they enjoy listening to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast. But that can be an awkward conversation.
And here is where we part ways.
I have written this week some simple sample dialogue to forward that stream. Try this.
Okay.
Listener's friend. Oh, I'm sorry I'm late. I was getting my hair and nails done. Listener. Since when do you prioritize that? Listener's friend, since recently. I don't like to leave the house without having my hair and nails done. Eunice. That's a person named Eunice. Could you move your In My Light? Fellas, it's a little harsh. Could you make it softer?
Uh-oh.
Listener, you brought a lighting crew to have lunch with me? And who's Eunice? What's up with you? Listener's friend. Well, remember I told you I was doing my 23andMe? Papa, can you hear me? Listener, yeah, remember I told you not to because they give your information to the government? Listener's friend, well, Nikki Arnstein, what a beautiful, beautiful name. I did it anyway, and I found out that I'm related to Barbara Streisand. Listener, that's ridiculous. Listener's friend, People who need people.
Are we really doing this?
But guess who's gonna be dessert? Listener, there's something I never told you before because it felt too awkward. See, Adam?
Really?
But I listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast. Listener's friend, oh, my man, I love him so. He'll never know when he takes me in his arms. Listener, will you stop that and listen to me? Listener's friend, the world is bright. All right. What's the difference if I say I'll go away? Listener, oh, for Christ's sakes. Listener's friend, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bells. I'm not sure I can stop. It's in my DNA. Listener, I don't think it is. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, once had on Dr. Wayne Grody, a geneticist of UCLA School of Medicine, and listener's friend, when I know I'll be back on my knees someday for whatever my man is, I am his forevermore.
Good God.
Listener, he said 99.9% of the reams of genetics they dump on you have no real meaning at all. Besides, whether you are related to Barbara Streisand or not, this is awful. I know you did your 23andMe because you were feeling disconnected and wanted to feel grounded and a part of something. I'm telling you, the laughter I get from listening to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, is uplifting and healing. It makes me feel human enough to let someone in traffic in front of me.
I'm going to go watch the game.
Listener's friend. Wow. Really? Thanks for telling me. I'm going to start listening to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, too. Do you think they'll ever have Barbara Streisand on? Listener, I don't see why not. Tom Hanks is going to be on.
Okay. I guess applause are in order for that. I'm not sure about that. That's incredibly specific, Paula.
What do you mean?
As a sample dialogue for listeners who might want to, you know, talk to their friends.
Well, if someone has a friend that is has done the 23andMe and believes as a result that they're related to Barbara Streisand and can't stop singing her songs and can't leave the house without their hair and
nails
done.
We don't even know if such a person
and
exists.
And can't go to lunch without a lighting crew. I think this is the perfect dialogue to help them.
Well, listeners, if you're out there and you...
You're a heartless bastard if you wouldn't want to help somebody like that.
Adam, answer
the phone.
What? I don't want
to... Answer the phone.
I really don't want to get the phone, Paula.
Adam, answer the phone.
Hello?
Adam, it's me, Winnie Feynman.
Hi, Winnie Feynman.
I can't believe I got through to you on the phone line. I'm so...
Are you
I'm
using
so
a
lucky.
Landline?
I'm so lucky.
Yeah?
And I just love you so much.
Winnie...
To me, you're piquant. And I mean that in the third use. You have a lively charm. Did you get the birdhouse I sent you?
A birdhouse?
I sent you a birdhouse.
Winnie, I'm not getting anything that you're sending me, and I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you to not send me things anymore because it's uncomfortable.
Adam.
Yeah?
It's so important to me that you get the things that I send you because I love you so much. You're
Where's this love coming from, Winnie?
You're so...
How about Paula? You love Paula, too, don't you?
I don't love Paula at all because she questions you, and you're right about everything, Adam.
Oh, yeah?
I love you so much.
Okay.
Could I have a picture? Will you send me a picture?
No. No, Winnie. I'm not going to send you a picture of me.
Mom, did you send him the birdhouse?
Uh-oh, there's a mom involved?
I live with my mother, Adam, now. I'm living with my mother, but I would much rather live with you. You are so wonderful.
No, you're definitely not going to live with me at any point,
you
Winnie.
You are so wonderful. The way you keep me at arm's distance.
This is the first time I've longed for that Mike Boom Boom guy. Because he's a... At least he doesn't make me quite this uncomfortable.
I got to go, Adam. I have to take out the trash. Look, I really love you. Take care. Bye.
Take care, Winnie. Well, that was weird.
Boy, she really likes you.
Yeah, I guess so. These callers that we're starting to pick up on the show, Paula, they're equally upsetting as the hand puppets, I gotta say. They both are of a piece.
Oh my gosh, I think Tom Hanks is gonna love all of it when he gets here. Fuck you, Anthony. I don't know why you would leave that llama here for a whole fucking week and it ain't the petty force.
We don't know where Anthony gets his black market animals, and he might not know where to put his llama.
I don't have my ear to the ground on animal abductions, but I think he's getting them from the LA Zoo or something.
No.
That's what it seemed like. Because they're big animals, usually, like a llama.
Let's start spray painting the animals that he brings here, and if they show up back at the zoo, we'll know.
We could tag their ears or something.
Or tag their ears. Yeah, that's probably better than spray paint.
Yeah, I don't think you want to spray paint a llama. Yeah.
No, point taken. Point taken.
I think we might be going to the Hooskow for spray painting a llama.
Yeah, well, what's the llama doing in our studio?
It ate the petty fours.
Anyway, nobody's. Remember, our email address again is nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com.
And you can find me and Adam on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can get my remarkably soft tri-polyblend t-shirts with the self-portrait on the left breast and the memorable quote on the back at paulapoundstone.com as well.
That's a great shirt. Everybody should get it. And
They're remarkably soft. Do you know why they're remarkably soft, Adam?
Why?
Because they're made with a tri-polyblend.
See, you're just doing that to get me. You're getting at me again because you know and I know that I believe, and I'm certain of this, that tri-poly isn't a thing, and you just mispronounced it one day, and now it's a thing for you.
No, it's tri-poly blend.
No, it's not.
Adam, get the phone. Answer the phone.
How come every time we argue, the phone rings?
Yeah. Adam, get the phone.
All right. Hello.
Hey, Adam, it's
Mike!
Oh, Mike!
Man, you are so
Mike,
right
what's
about
your full
that
name again?
Polly Blend, man. Boom Boom, Mike Boom Boom.
What's your
Mike
last
Boom
name,
Boom
Mike?
Bonifet.
Bonifet.
It's Mike Boom Boom Bonifet. Okay. Adam Felber. So good to talk to you, man. I love you. You're so
thank
great.
Thank you, Mike. Thank
yeah,
you.
You know, you were right about this Tripoli thing. You know,
yeah.
What the fuck is she talking about?
Well, you know, she.
There's no Tripoli Blend.
No, Jeez, it's
I
not.
I don't know how you work with her. She's a bitch.
Hey, Mike. I will not have you talking about Paula Poundstone in that way, Mike. Take it back.
You're so patient.
Yeah. You can't talk to her about her like that, Mike.
Yeah,
she's a dear friend of mine.
Okay. All right. But you know what I mean, right?
Well, I think you mean that you want to call her a bitch.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think. See?
Yeah,
you
it wasn't
mean?
That. You,
high five.
No,
over
I'm not
going to
high five you, Mike. One, we're on the phone.
High five over the phone.
No.
Man, you are
no,
great.
No, Michael, I'm not going to high five you.
You are great. Man, you know what? I gotta go. But I'll see you after the game.
No,
on
you
Friday.
Won't, Michael.
I'll see you after the game on Friday.
No, we won't see
How
each
we
other.
How we usually get together after the
we
game on
We never get together. We never get
I
together,
love
Mike.
I hanging out with you.
How's the Trans Am coming, Mike?
It's good. It's good. And thanks again for the fuzzy dice, man. That
I didn't
so
send you fuzzy dice, Mike.
That was so thoughtful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Bye,
All right.
Mike.
Bye, Adam. Good bitch.
Wow, Paula, I apologize for that.
Wow, boy, that guy really is simpatico with you.
Yeah, no, I don't see. I don't want to claim any association with him. I don't think we're simpatico at all.
You don't?
No, I think we have nothing in common, and I don't want fans like that.
But you know what? I think it's great that you know hang out with him after the games. And
I don't.
Stuff.
I don't even know what game he's talking about.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
All right, everybody.
Yeah. Whoa, boy, what a full show we've had.
It really has been a great show. We want to thank everybody. Here's how we do it. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hull. Technical direction by Ray Horseman and mixing by Anthony Alfaro. Special thanks to tonight's house band, Alexi Chevalik. And thanks to our guest, Jim Hardy of Tree People. Security muscle is provided by Tyler, the Studio City behemoth Burke. You should see this guy. He's ripped. Transcription services for the show provided by TranscribeMe. For your special Paula Poundstone discount, use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at TranscribeMe.com.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
Where'd I put my country? It seems like I had it just a few minutes ago.
It's bigger than the UK.
So it shouldn't be this hard to find.
It's bigger than Italy.
But I can't see it. Wait a minute. There it is.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture. Artist owned.
Audience supported.